on Friday, our nation celebrates its 238th birthday, but today, America is also observing the passage of one of the most significant laws ever crafted in its history. On July 2, 1964, President Lyndon B. Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act of 1964. That law forbids discrimination on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. It was born in an era of violence and intolerance in America. Just a year before, the Michigan Constitution of 1963 created a Civil Rights Commission, the first state ever to do so. Joining me to talk about Michigan's civil rights history and legacy, Leslie Fritz, the Deputy Director of the Michigan Department of Civil Rights. Leslie, welcome back to Current State.
Thanks so much, Mark, for having me on. I appreciate it.
It's great to have you. We do hold a unique distinction in the arena of civil rights. We were the first state to create a civil rights commission by constitutional mandate. What did that law do to inspire your agency's mission?
Well, you're absolutely right, Mark. Michigan has a proud history of civil rights action and progressive action on in the area of civil rights. In 1963, we became the first state to say it's important enough to us to create a commission and give it the authority to enforce anti-discrimination laws. The Civil Rights Commission was born that year. We, as the Department of Civil Rights, are essentially the staff arm of that commission. And 50 years later, we keep working towards the mission that the Constitution laid out for us. We enforce those anti-discrimination laws, and we do our best to educate and help everybody who has to follow those laws to understand what they're required to do. Because an awful lot of what we deal with is misunderstanding in addition to bad intentions. And so we do a lot of work at education and outreach to help people understand what the law says and what the law means
and
how best to follow it.
And the year after the revised Michigan Constitution, we saw the landmark federal law. What did the federal law do to shape the early days of Michigan's agency?
Well, it really lays the groundwork. The Civil Rights Act of 1964, as you very accurately described in your introduction, was the first federal legislation to say anti-discrimination on the basis of race, color, religion, national origin, and gender is no longer going to be allowed. I mean, most people think of it, and rightfully so, as an end to the Jim Crow segregation laws in the South. It was the end of sitting in the back of the bus. It was the end of whites-only lunch counters. But it really laid the groundwork for equality for all people, not just African Americans. It was the first law that said women have to be treated equally in the workplace. It laid the foundation for the Voting Rights Act that came the next year, the Fair Housing Act that came in 1968, the Americans with Disabilities Act that came a number of years later. So it really was the first and the foundational piece of legislation that creates equality for all of us in all walks of life, whether it's employment or housing or public accommodation, whatever the case may be. And that's the very business that the Michigan Department of Civil Rights is in. We have the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act here in Michigan, which says very much the same thing as the federal act. It actually goes further. Creates protections for a number of categories that aren't included in that federal Civil Rights Act. But it's the very work that we do on a daily basis, ensuring that regardless of who you are, where you come from, what you look like, that you have an equal opportunity to get a job and have a place to live and to enjoy all that Michigan has to offer in the way of public accommodations.
Leslie Fritz is our guest. Leslie's Deputy Director of the Michigan Department of Civil Rights here on the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Federal Civil Rights Act of 1964. What was the civil rights climate like in Michigan in the mid-60s? I mean, did your agency have to win hearts and minds, or was the public, I think a lot of people assume the public was a lot more tolerant here in the North. How many hearts and minds did your agency have to win over?
Well, it's an ongoing effort, no question. You're right. The climate in the 1960s in the North was certainly less filled with violence than what people in the South were experiencing. We all remember those scenes of, you know, of fire hoses and dogs and violent protests. That really was not occurring to that level across the North and here in Michigan. But public opinion was not on the side of integration and desegregation. I mean, if you look at Gallup polling, that was the most prominent public polling of the time. the people here in Michigan thought were nervous is probably the best way to describe it about what was happening across the country as it related to desegregation. Change is always hard, and certainly the 1960s was a decade full of change, big change. And people here in Michigan were not anxious to see it happen. Were nervous about what it meant, and were not particularly supportive. Thankfully, the leadership at the time here in Michigan and across the country was willing to do things that were unpopular because they were right. You look at somebody like George Romney, who chaired the Constitutional Convention, went on to be governor. He was a huge advocate, a very vocal voice for civil rights at a time when it was not particularly popular. John Hanna, the president of Michigan State, chaired the United States Civil Rights Commission as the first chair after it was created. Martha Griffith, who most of us remember as lieutenant governor, was in Congress at the time and was a very significant player in ensuring that women were included in the U.S. Civil Rights Act. So Michigan had very progressive leadership that was willing to stand in the face of unpopular stand in the face of popular opinion and do things that they believed were right, even if they weren't popular at the time.
Two big events happened in Michigan within just 3 years of each other that challenged your department. The first was the race riots in Detroit in July of 1967. How did your office respond to those?
The Civil Rights Commission was a very active player at that time. Governor George Romney was governor by then. He had appointed the first Civil Rights Commission, and those eight men and women were still serving their very first term when the race riots broke out. He called on the civil rights commissioners to go to other communities, to Pontiac, to Saginaw, to Flint, to Ann Arbor, and to ensure that the violence did not spread. Those eight men and women were really the ambassadors for Governor Romney to other communities to bring leadership around the table, to talk to the ministerial leaders, the law enforcement, the elected leadership, to ensure that we did not see this kind of violence break out in other communities. And it really shaped a lot of the early work that the commission and the department did, because it was just 2 years after we were formed that all of that was happening. And obviously it spoke to a need to address a number of issues, economic issues, housing issues, employment issues in communities across our state.
The second event was the murder of Burton Gordon, the first executive director of the Michigan Civil Rights Commission, whose murder in March of 1970 remains unsolved today. I want to mention that, but I have to ask you about today's civil rights frontiers. How does the Michigan Civil Rights Commission, how is it involved in today's civil rights issues?
Well, we continue to be, you're right. Let me speak to Burton Gordon before I answer your question. Our first executive director at the department was in fact murdered in the parking garage outside of our office in Detroit, and that remains unsolved. There's a number of people who believe that murder was the result of the work that he was doing. We won't know that until the murder is solved with certainty, but certainly the work of civil rights in the 1960s was dangerous work, and Burton Gordon is somebody who we remember at the department who sacrificed an awful lot and ultimately his life to bring equality to communities across this state. But the work that we do today is certainly built upon and influenced by all of that activity that was going on in the 1960s. We continue to be, to the best of our ability, the voice and advocate for people across the state who need to have an equal opportunity to access all that Michigan has to offer. It is no longer just about dealing with race relations, although certainly that's a part of what we do. Michigan is an incredibly diverse state. We have a very large community of Arab Americans, the largest outside of the Middle East. We have a large and growing Hispanic population, a large and growing Asian American population, all of whom are trying to assimilate into the Michigan that we remember from our childhood. So our communities are changing. And with that change comes challenge. Our school districts are dealing with it. Our communities, our neighborhoods, our law enforcement agencies are dealing with people from all over the world who come from different backgrounds, who practice different religions, and are trying to help ensure that our neighborhoods are safe and open, that our business community and our jobs are available to all people, and that our our housing is available to anybody who needs it. So it's it continues to be the work that we do every day. It's just a little bit more diverse community that we're working in.
It is the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Federal Civil Rights Act of 1964. Leslie Fritz has been our guest. Leslie's the Deputy Director of the Michigan Department of Civil Rights. Thanks for joining us, Leslie.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
50 years ago today, President Lyndon Johnson used more than 100 pens to sign the Civil Rights Act in the presence of such luminaries as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert F. Kennedy. Johnson offered these hopeful words.
We must not approach the observance and enforcement of this law in a vengeful spirit. Its purpose is not to punish. Its purpose is not to divide, but to end divisions, divisions which have lasted all too long. Its purpose is national, not regional. This Civil Rights Act is a challenge to all of us to go to work in our communities and our states, in our homes and in our hearts, to eliminate the last vestiges of injustice in our beloved country.